This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I'm Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Alice Steinke from Bluffdale, Texas, and you are listening to a special trail riding episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 29th, episode 1531, brought to you by the North American Trail Ride Conference and the Riding Warehouse. Good morning, Horse World.
Thursday. I'm so happy it's Thursday.
Just an ordinary day.
If you love to ride horses, but you'd rather ride on a trail than in an arena, I think I know a sport just for you.
We're out. We're getting to the first mark. We're a little ahead of time.
Expect nothing less than full-blown chaos.
Well, good morning, Alice. Lovely to have you back.
Thank you. Good morning, Jen. Has it been a good day for you? I know you said that your horses were chasing each other today.
Yes, I am in Studio A this morning because Glenn gets to take the producer's chair, and I'm watching Glenn out here trying to separate the two children fighting with each other, that classic, Mommy, he touched me. Well, he touched me first. Well, he took my Legos. Well, that's what the horses are doing right now. So Glenn is out there trying to rescue Nigel from being pulverized by 13-hand Scooter. Yeah.
So Nigel is such a cool name. Was he already named that, or did you name him that?
No, his name was not Nigel when I got him. His registered name is North Coast. Kind of boring. And his barn name was Harry. And Harry.
Oh, Harry's cool.
Harry's okay. And we have had this thing lately of naming our horses after various and sundry Muppet characters.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Okay.
So we had,
Scooter, Nigel.
We had to find a Muppet that matched Nigel's personality a little bit. So we came up with Nigel. And it kind of fits him. He's kind of a Nigel. He's pleasant and reasonably attractive in a clunky kind of a way. It fits him pretty good. But he wants to be in charge, but he just doesn't have the constitution for it. I'd like to say that Scooter is a benign dictator, but he is not. He's a little Nazi.
I think about the whole horse naming thing. It's like you never want to name a horse something bad, like Buck or Rebel. Or my first horse was Rebel, and he was perfectly fine. But Michael, my boyfriend has a horse. And he named, or a mule, and he named her Jezebel. And I was just like, no. This is never going to work. It's like, do you know who Jezebel is? He's like, yeah, she's in the Bible. And I'm like, do you know who she was? It's like, Jezebel was an evil, evil person.
It just seems like a mulish name, though.
Yeah, that's what he said. He said, we'll just call her Bob. And I was like, I'll start calling her Jessie. But then, of course, ever since I said I was going to call her Jessie, I call her Jezebel every time.
There you go. But yeah, there is a lot of people put a great deal of emphasis on what the horse's barn name is and whether or not it fits their personality, and, you know, discourage using bizarre names. I had one named Hazelnut once. And she was Hazel when she was good and Nut when she was not.
That's great.
And she was not most of the time, but she was a fun horse to have. So you're right. You've got to match the name to the personality, or maybe you need to match it to the personality you want. So you buy yourself your very first show jumper, and he's a little bit on the slow side. You really have to keep him fit because he's like, I'm not very enthusiastic. And you have to pump him up all the time. Name him Lightning Bolt.
There you go.
What you want them to be.
Well, that's like my 3-year-old. His registered name is Crown Valiant. And the lady I got
that sounds very grand.
I know. Well, he was born on Easter Sunday, and his father was Crown Zalil. And I always jokingly call Zalil. I was into Smallville for a while. Superman's dad's name? He's still like,
Oh, yeah.
Super or Kal-El or whatever. Kal-El, call it yes. Kal-El. Yeah. Kal-El. Like, oh, Zalil. Yes. Oh, no, that's Kal-El. But anyway, so, but anyway, so he was Val when I got him. Well, my friends and my daughter, nobody liked Val. And so we started by calling him Ivan because he's a Russian Arab. But then I started thinking, well, what if that made him Ivan the Terrible? And then we called him like a bunch of different things. And I finally started calling him Cass. I've never been happy with anything I've called him, but Cass is stuck now. So
yeah, maybe he just needs to be hoarse.
Yeah, he's more like Stinker. Hesky. He was a bottle baby. And so he's incredibly human centered.
He's a little bit needy, is he?
A little bit needy. Yeah. Follows the bucket everywhere.
Yeah. Maybe Stinky is what it needs to be.
Yeah. Little Stinker.
That's little Stinker. LS. Yeah.
There you go.
Hey, LS. I can just yell that across the thing. Well, anyhow, we went down that rabbit hole fast, didn't we? I want to welcome Alice back because she is here the third Thursday of every month, except this month we moved you around because of our vacation. Thank you for doing that.
Vacation.
Yay. And you've got all kind of great information about the NATRC and trail riding in general. So we did that. And something special we have to do this month. We don't typically do this on the NATRC third Thursday, but we are going to today.
Yes, I have a daily Winnie today. My mother's birthday was yesterday, and she is not a horse lover, nor a lover of birthdays, I think. But because it was her birthday, I wanted to say happy birthday to my mom. And I'm going to send her a link to the show and say, Mom, just listen to the first few minutes and you'll be glad you did. So happy birthday, Mom.
Mom, you can do it. The first 7 minutes, you can do it.
It's before we talk about anything really horsey. So it'll be okay.
There we go.
Your eyes won't glaze over yet.
Now,
I love you, Mom.
Yay. Thanks, Mom. Happy birthday. And I can't resist continuing down this horse naming rabbit hole that we started because that's one of my favorite fun topics with absolutely no weight to it. Where do you weigh in on the topic of giving horses people names?
Oh, I like people names because it's easy. It's to the point. I don't know. I mean, I'm flexible on it, but that's why I said every time we can't think of a name, we always just say we're going to call it Bob. So
that just made me laugh because one of the standing jokes in the draft horse business is every other horse is named Bob. Draft horses seem to have single syllable names.
Yeah. Well, and like my dogs, I got a new puppy and her name is Patty. And then, I have my dog Bailey.
You are into people names, aren't you?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I know one of my old horses was Hank and my daughter's pony.
I love Hank.
Yeah, he was Hank. And then my daughter's pony, her old pony was Joe. But then I have Liberty, who was already named Liberty. And I like it.
You can have people named Liberty.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. I do know somebody. And then my other old horse is Freely. And that just was the name he had when I got him. And he was a free horse. So I thought that was really awesome.
Oh, that's hilarious.
He was free and his name was Freely. So.
Now, what about horses with human names when you also have a human in your life with the same name? For example, if your grandpa's name was Harry, would you be allowed to call a horse Harry?
Right. I've had trouble with that. It's one of the reasons when I go to name animals like my dog Patty, I have a friend named Patty.
See. And, weren't you worried that Patty would be upset?
No, because I told her that I was thinking of her when I named the dog, and she felt honored because she's a big animal lover too. She's another NATRC rider, and she has she's a cat. She posts pictures of quite a bit on Facebook named Dora. So. Because she's an explorer.
I think that's where the dividing line is. I think you hit it there. When you name an animal and it has a human name and you also have friend, acquaintance, loved one with that same name, they are only offended if they're not an animal person.
Right. Yeah. If I named one of my pets Liz, my mom might be unhappy.
See, because she's not that animal person. Yeah.
Right.
I think we've nailed it right there.
I think so.
So here's the test. When you start dating someone new, tell them that you've named an animal after them and watch for that reaction. If they're offended, dump them right there. Don't waste your time.
Oh, well, I'm not going to be dating anybody new.
But that's for our listeners. That's just a little bit.
That's true. It's a good listener
Coach Jen's dating advice. Take it for what it's worth.
Well, and the other, you know, I knew that Mike was perfect for me when I said, well, if we ever got married, we should consolidate our horse herd. And he was like, why? It's like, well, because we have 10 horses and a mule between us. And he's like, yeah, but I've got 350 acres. So who cares? And I was like, let's get married.
Now I hear, is this top secret? I hear there's a new horse in the world. Because
yes, his name is Sherman, and he is an unregistered Tennessee Walker. He's real pretty. He's black. He's got a star. He's real nice, gentle personality. And we got him through a friend of a friend from for Michael, and he did his first trail competition. It was a Texas Trail Challenge.
Now, was this Sherman or the Sweetie?
Both.
Oh, okay.
They both. Well, Mike went to a ride with me this summer in Colorado and volunteered, and he's volunteered again since then. But this was a Texas Trail Challenge, which, you know, we had Kate Love, our president, on once before, and it's focuses on obstacles. It's, you know, it's slower paced, but these folks are incredibly talented trail riders. I mean, like you can earn up to 200 points for you and your horse together. Wow. And I had the best score I've ever had at one of these rides. Like because my horse just, he doesn't really like slow very much, mm-hmm. but he and Sherman are very happy together. So they were very content. And Sherman's a nice calming influence on my little more hyper Arab. And, he scored like nine. We scored together nines and tens for like between 18 and 20 for almost every obstacle but one. Wow. And it put us in fourth place. Like we had a score of 182 and we were fourth. I mean, they're just the competition is so fierce. These people are so good with their horses. But he and Mike did their first ride, and Sherman had previously been billed as not being a you know, trail wasn't really his thing. He was kind of new to trail. He'd been kind of a show ring horse. And, but Mike's real laid back and Sherman's real laid back, and they had such a good time. Except at one point toward the end, it was a rocky spot, and Sherman was kind of like, yeah, no, I'm done. And he didn't want to go down this one hill. And I hear from the top of the hill, I've gone down the hill, and I hear them going, Mike, let go of the reins. Let go of the reins. Mike. And nobody's really that upset. They're just like, let go of the reins. And I'm like, what happened? Oh, he fell off. And Sherman had backed him under a low branch.
Oh, no.
And so he's like leaning forward. And then he left. Sherman left. Or he left Sherman. So.
Oh, they separated company, huh?
They separated company. So.
Oh, no.
But, you know, Sherman stood for him to get back on, and it was all good. And you know, he said Mike's still learning him, and he's very sensitive. He's very well trained and very sensitive. And he says he probably was pulling back too much.
Yeah.
And he was just so
signals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like halfway through the ride, like Sherman just wants to walk. He's got a really nice slow walk.
Really?
For a gated horse. Yeah. I mean, like Liberty, well, he likes to follow. So that's part of it. But most of the gated horses I know just naturally walk super fast. Well, somewhere in the middle of the ride, he figured out, he found his go button kind of accidentally. And it was like, oh, look, there he goes. Oh. He's like, and so then randomly we'd be going along, and all of a sudden Sherman would just go, and he's like, look, we're going.
Where'd Sherman go?
It's just really funny. So, but yeah, so he needs some work on some obstacles, but like Mike is, he's always ridden a horse just to work cows and stuff. He's never really done trail ride. I mean, he likes to ride, but he just hasn't done a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
And so he's like, so tell me how you make a horse side pass. And I was like, yeah, that's one of those things that it's easy to do, but it's hard to explain to someone who doesn't necessarily have the terminology, mm-hmm. you know? And so we were talking about it, and he was like, oh, look, he knows how. It's like, yeah, I figured he did. So,
well, see, that's one of the nice things. Nigel is coming from a similar place in that he was primarily a show horse before he came to me. And he was at that point in his career that he needed to go kind of into semi-retirement and spend a lot of time goofing off and not a lot of time working hard in the arena. But the advantage there is he already has all that important basic training so that when I do decide to go out on a trail ride and I need to do a side pass because we need to get around something, I need to get him busy because he's busy being scared of something, he has that skill set, and it's just easy to transfer that into useful things on the trail. So that's really cool that Sherman has that basic training so that you don't have a case of the blind leading the blind.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. Well,
it is very
one
cool.
of the things that comes with new horse is new tack. And absolutely. I also had a little birdie tell me that there was some new tack in somebody's life.
Well, see, now I'm going to let the cat out of the bag because, well, it's okay. I was going to give it to him for his birthday, but he knows we were looking, so it's not a huge surprise. I've been looking at all kinds of websites with tack, and there's so many options from, you know, really inexpensive or used to, you know, the Cadillac tack that's just more money than I have to spend right now. And I'm sure the same goes, like, because I know I had a friend who was a really heavy hitter in dressage, and I had no idea you could spend $800 on a bridle. It was just like, no, exactly.
Yes, we're looking, you can.
Like, the leather is, this is so nice. And I'm like, $40 at Dover. That's it. You know, so, but I've been looking at beta biothane tack because in our world, it's so much easier. And like one of my friends who shows, of Spanish Mustangs. They have a national show every year. And she posted on Facebook last week. She said, yeah, everybody's scrambling around cleaning their tack. Where's the oil? Where's the saddle soap? Where's the this? And I'm like, where's the bucket of soapy water? Dunk. She had her beta tack. So, brown beta bridle. Dunk in some soapy water.
There you go. There are advantages to that stuff. And one of the fun things about it, when you ride for fun or you ride in one of those disciplines where there are not really strict rules about what colors things are allowed to be and what kind of buckles you have. You have that freedom to kind of express yourself a little bit. And it's so easy to find places that literally make custom tack. You can make the configuration, the color, right, the size, whether or not you want buckles or snaps or brass or stainless. So tell me what's the latest in your
So what
closet.
We ended up with was, and Michael, I kept looking at like plain black tack with a few little silver diamonds, you know, because mm-hmm. classic look. And Mike's like, you know, I kind of like that pink tack you already have. And his friends have been teasing him because, you know, they're all cowboys and farmers. And he's like, hey, I'm a real man. I can use pink if I want. Unfortunately, the pink tack was Arab sized and Sherman is horse sized.
Yeah, Sherman is so not Arab sized.
I tried it. It totally didn't fit. So I guess Cass is going to inherit the pink tack because it's paid for. And he's going to be gray, so it won't matter. You know, white horses can wear anything. But we ended up with blue camo. It's as an overlay on a sky blue beta with some really cute little aqua blue bling, and did a Western bridle with the drop brow band and a Texas star in the middle, and then some cool buckles.
You really did go all out, girl.
I did.
Wow.
And then this is birthday present, new horse, you know, it'll be fun. And then the breast collar actually has like a buckle in the middle that has a black overlay, so it'll bring out the black in the, or has a black it's like an, I don't know, it's a buckle and it's got like a, it's colored, like the indentions have black in them.
Oh wow. Take pictures when it comes and put it all over the horse and take pictures for next
week. Well, actually, and the lady I got it from has a website, has a Facebook page, and it's called Trailblazer Tack. Mm-hmm. And I had looked at lots of different ones, so you know, I want to like shout out to all the people. I often buy stuff from Nancy Mitz at a Stable Gear Tack. And I had looked at Taylor Tack, and I had looked at Just for Fun. It's like Just for the number four fun. She's a friend of a friend, and I've forgotten about her, you know, before I looked at her. I looked at all these different websites, and it just seemed like for right now, the Trailblazers was what I needed. Mm-hmm. And so, she spent so much time with me and, going over like what my options were and coming up with the best configuration, and then like laying stuff out and taking pictures and showing it to me. And so it was actually fun to go shopping. Sometimes all those choices are really frustrating, mm-hmm. but it was, you know, it was fun to have her. And then like she'd show me something that was already made and maybe in a different color, because she has one for sale right now that was like used three times, she said, and it's a discount. And it was the same, pretty much what I came up with in blue, but it's in pink. And it's got like little pink mm-hmm. jewels in it. And
yeah.
was very flashy too.
Yeah. So. Well, the boy may like that pink tack that you have so much, but I think if he had to use it on a daily basis, he might tire of pink. So I think blue on blue camo was the right choice.
Well, and he's a hunter and he's a rancher and he's a farmer. So, you know, it's, yeah I mean, it'll be good for every day. And one of my friends sent me a bridle just to use in the meantime. And I'll probably, you know, we'll probably keep his blue tack for like going out and the, you know, the old English bridle just for whenever. So, yeah, you can't have too many bridles.
You're right. I have, I think, three. I have one horse. I have three bridles.
Well, actually, I have one bridle for my horse. But I was realizing that I bought the brow band. It's brown beta with turquoise pieces. And I bought it from Nancy Mitz Stable Gear Tack, you know, 10 years ago, because I've had my horse almost 10 years, so 9 years ago. And I was going, you know, it might be time for a new set soon.
That's the downside, though, to beta biothane tack, is even if you don't take very good care of it, it pretty much tends to outlast the horse. It will not wear out.
No, I know. And so it's like you want something new just because.
Just because. So that's the disadvantage. Yeah.
It's definitely a disadvantage. Yeah.
Well, congratulations on the fancy new tack. And I fully expect a lot of really beautiful pictures for next month's show.
Okay.
So when you have it on the horse with the boyfriend and the whole thing.
Absolutely. Well, and that's the other thing I need before I forget. One of my friends gave me the coolest halter. There's a friend of mine named Cricket Dooley, and she is on Facebook also, Cricket with a K. And I don't know if she has a business page or just her regular page, but she does custom beading work on halters and whatever. And she made for me as a present. You know, one of my friends bought it from her for me. It's a turquoise halter, and she did all this intricate by hand beading work on the halter. And like the nose of the halter says Liberty, and one side says NATRC, and the other side says Region 4. And I haven't even put it on my horse yet because it's been muddy and he's been dirty. And it's so beautiful that I'm scared to use it. You know, because it's one of those, I wouldn't tie him up with it because he might bang one of the beads.
And, well, there you go. That's the one that hangs in the living room as a trophy. You just hang it there and look at it.
I'm going to use it on him this week. I have a ride this weekend at Robbers Cave State Park, and I'm going to use it this weekend because it's got a stud chain, which Liberty sometimes needs at check-in because he can sometimes be naughty. And he'll be clean for check-in. And so I'll put it on him, and then we always get our photo taken there after with the American flag, because we raise money for the Hugs Project at this competition. You just send care packages overseas to the soldiers, and they always take our picture with the flag. And so this way I can have it on him, and I can use it, and I can get his photo taken, and then I can take it off and hang it up like a trophy, because it is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. So, you know, like, I thank my friend Sharon for giving it to me, and then I thank Cricket for, I can't even imagine the hours she spent making that. It's just the most gorgeous thing.
So where is your ride coming up? What state are we going to?
We're going to Oklahoma. It's Robbers Cave State Park. And they are
Robbers
known,
as in thief?
Yes, because there is a cave there where they think the Jesse James gang hang out. It's beautiful.
The Jesse James legends are kind of like the George Washington. You know, you can find 500,000 places. George Washington once slept here. Jesse James once hid out here.
Right. Well, and I've never actually been to the cave. A lot of people go, but this ride is beautiful, but it's challenging. And so typically when I get back to camp, I fall asleep.
So what's challenging about it?
It is hilly and it's rocky. Mm-hmm. Though we went to Arkansas last week or 2 weeks ago for the competition that Kim Murphy had talked about earlier in the summer. We went for her first competition, and Robbers Cave will be a piece of cake after that. because Pine Grove, I mean, it was beautiful too, but it was very, very challenging also. But it was gorgeous. I mean, we had lots of nice stream crossings, and that's how Robbers Cave will be. There'll be lots of pretty trees, and there'll be lots of good climbs, and you know, lots of running water, and it's just a lot of fun. And the campground is fabulous, and there's real showers.
Yay!
And, you know, if you're somebody who doesn't camp, there's even cabins you can rent.
I see. Now you're talking my language.
Yes, except you have to stay with your horse in camp. So, you know, Glenn can sleep in the cabin. You have to come sleep with me in my new living quarters.
Yeah. Now, how's that working out? How are the new living quarters trailer working out?
It's good. We use the shower for the first time. 2 weeks ago. And the only problem seems to be that the nut that connects the, or the, is it a nut? I guess it's a nut that connects the water heater to the hot water line to go into the shower has a crack in it. So we had to put a bucket under it so that whenever we were using the water heater, it could catch the drip.
Well,
so,
but yeah, that's
not- Michael will fix it. And Michael is like, he's like Mr. Mechanic. He, the lights didn't work quite right. And this other couple of, and he like, he had, when he has free time, he just, it's like he's like Sherlock Holmes with electrical things. He just, it just bugs him until he fixes it. And so like now all the lights in my trailer work.
Sherlock Holmes combined with Mr. Tesla. Is that what it is?
Yes, exactly. I mean, and so it's like, you know, in my past history, it's like, oh, that doesn't work. I mean, I think about how many thousands of dollars I would have spent already taking it to the shop. And so, you know, and all he's getting is some tag.
So, so in the NATRC competitions, when you do the competitive trail rides, what is the most sought after feature in a living quarters horse trailer?
Well, I would have to say a bathroom, probably,
so
or a shower.
Or a bathroom.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people that have cowboy showers or have
Now explain for me, cowboy shower.
Oh, like the shower is like if we have a trailer that has, say, a walk-through door from the living part to the horse part, you can have a shower in the wall of the horse part, like a pie. And so it's a real shower, but you have like a handheld nozzle and you shower in the back of the trailer.
So the shower itself is where the horses are. So the, and that's where the drain is. And so it's really an indoor outdoor shower.
Right. But that's something, you know, like my friend Teresa, her trailer, she was originally going to put a real shower in, but they have a big fancy porta potty and a cowboy shower in the back in the first stall. And she's just decided she'd rather have all the space to live in. Mm-hmm. But then like Annette has a whole 14 feet of living space. So she's got a bed and a couch and a sink and a microwave and a little stove and then a whole bathroom. So, you know, it just depends on how much space you have. Like I only, my living quarters is 4 feet and I don't have a toilet in there. I just have, but I have a little porta potty and most of the campgrounds have bathrooms.
Yeah. Anyway. That's pretty much the norm in campgrounds these days.
Even if it's just a glorified porta potty, there's still a bath. So for me, I wanted a shower. I wanted to know, cause I mean, I like to clean up when I get back. Mm-hmm. There's only been one ride in all the time I've been doing this that I didn't clean up. And it was 1 year in January in Louisiana. And it was just so freaking cold. I couldn't imagine getting wet.
Yeah.
But that's not normal for me.
So again, another NATRC question. Whenever you head out and you do your ride, typically how long does your ride last from beginning to end? How long are you on the trail for one of your rides?
Well, novice and competitive pleasure are typically out on the trail for 5 hours or less as a rule, though it can be more.
So 4 or 5 hours is a pretty good starting point.
Yes.
Okay. So 4 or 5 hours, that's not so bad. That, you know, if I was to go fox hunting, 4 or 5 hours would be a very normal day.
Right.
So when you get back, yes, you have to go to the bathroom. Oh my God. So that makes sense. Is it typical that you guys have electrical hookups or are generators the norm or do you use like a lot of flashlights?
It seems like more and more that electrical hookups are the norm. But that could just be because like when I started, that was not the case. And it just seems like over the years, the camping places that didn't have hookups, either we lost access to those trails or people just gave better, attendance to the rides that, to the rides that had electric.
Yeah.
And so they've gotten to be more popular. Because I know when I first started, I took a friend to her first ride in 2003, and it was a place that had enough hookups for everybody and like actual bathrooms and showers. And she was like, oh, this is awesome. Is this like usual? And all the women were just like, no. and back then too, not everybody had a living quarters. Cause I remember I had one friend that had a living quarters and she had said at one point that I could use her shower, but then somebody else was like, oh, well, Alice used your shower. I'm going to use your shower. So she finally decided to say.
she needed to charge rent.
she finally just had to say, no, it's just for me. Yeah. Because people just were, you know, some people don't have the same boundaries, I guess. I don't
know. That's right. That's right.
And so, but now I would say more people have, you know, more people camp in at least, you know, some sort of an LQ. Or, you know, at least have a better place to sleep. I don't see a lot of tents anymore. People sleep in the back of their truck or they sleep in the back of their trailer.
That's what I used to do back in the day. Never had a living quarters horse trailer or anything vaguely resembling living quarters horse trailer. Always had a standard two-horse ramp load horse trailer. And at that back in the day, I always had an SUV versus an open back-end pickup truck. So I always slept either in the truck or in the trailer. I never... it's like, well, what's the point? I have a perfectly good roof right here. Just throw a cot in there and I'm good to go.
Right, exactly. And I did that too. When my daughter and I first started camping, we had these little cot tent things. We had tried tarping off the trailer, which was okay. But like if you have the horses tied to the trailer, since they also judge the camping, I was worried that somebody would ding me for having a bungee cord attached to the side of the trailer because I could see that as being particularly dangerous.
Yeah.
So
bungee cords and horses frequently do not get along.
Right. So, and then I got these little cot tent things, and now they make them way better. These were like, I had them on eBay for like nothing. They were called California Sleepers, and they weren't great cots, but they had a tent over the top of them. And so,
oh my
gosh,
it's an all-in-one unit.
Yeah. And it like would flip over. And the cool part about it was that, you know, then when you got condensation inside the trailer, it dripped onto the top of the tent and not onto you.
And it's called a cot tent?
Yeah, and they make them. If you go to Cabela's website, they have like a cot tent, and it's a bigger, heavier, more sturdy thing.
Oh, and they make them in different sizes. You can get like a queen-sized one. Oh, that's funny. I'm looking at pictures on Google right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
They make them really big. And then the other thing that they sometimes, that I've seen people do is like a hammock in the trailer. And some of the hammocks have like tent tops over them. I just got my daughter a hammock for her birthday that they were selling them on Woot. I don't know if you know about Woot.com.
Oh, we know about Woot. Yeah, Glenn's got a lifetime subscription to Woot.
I'm kind of a Woot addict, but I got her a hammock on Woot, and it has like a mosquito net over it. But see, the new trailer actually closes all the way up, and you have slider windows.
Yeah.
So it's a much better place to camp than the old trailer was. So
if you're camping. And you're maybe you're getting started out with NATRC things, and part of the requirement of the competition is your horse mastership skills are being judged, and that you have to take good care of your horse and be safe and things. And you don't have a living quarters trailer. You could go with just getting one of these tent cots, which is perfectly serviceable. They come in lots of different sizes and shapes and colors, and they have all the things that a tent needs to have. And you can either put it inside your trailer or outside your trailer, and you're good to go.
Yes.
Wow. That's an economical way to get into that aspect of the sport.
Yeah. And one time at this ride I'm going to this weekend, I had my cot tent, or I had a regular cot. I can't remember which now. And I took a tarp because I was volunteering. And I took a tarp and I tucked it into the little half doors in the back seat of my old F-150. Mm-hmm. And I just pulled it over the bed of the truck, and then I put my cot tent under that and slept in there for the night. And it was just as easy as it was just me that time. Mm-hmm. You know, we have two, it's a little, you know, trying to coordinate two kid, you know, a kid and you, it's a little different, but it was actually pretty comfortable. And then before I had the gooseneck trailer, you know, I had a Suburban for the longest, and that was, except when it was super hot outside, that was the best. I mean, it was comfortable. It was a real bed. Mm-hmm. You know, and it, except when the bugs were, you know, when it was really hot, then it was buggy. But I did that
somebody
for 6 years.
Somebody needs to invent removable screen windows that you can put into your automobile, like when you're sleeping in the back of your Suburban. So somebody needs to invent that out there in the podcast universe. Somebody invent that. Make sure you give us a little bit of credit.
I'll get Mike on it.
Get Mike on that. And on that thought, We're going to take a little break for our song today as Glenn furiously tries to get hold of our guest. I hope Tom Christ is listening. We're trying to call you. And then we'll be right back. And we're either going to chat with Tom or we're going to go into a clever list about how to keep your senior citizen healthy and happy over the winter.
Okay.
Striking out on your own. I got a hug from mama, still on my mind. But daddy's little girl is doing fine. Tears in my eyes, a smile on my face. The rest of my life starts today. Well, I'm just a girl with a guitar.
With us, Tom Christ, and it's going to be worth it because he is trail master extraordinaire. He has taught people how to build trails on small pieces of property, and he's going to teach us the same thing, right?
Oh, I want to hear this.
We hope so. Well, first off, you told me before you started building trails, you used to ride off trail. So when you say you rode off trail, where did you ride?
Oh, down the road. And if we did not have a place to ride, we would just ride down the road. If we saw a patch of woods that didn't have a fence, we would just go into it just because we like to explore in. And turned out we were brush popping. We didn't know what it was called at the time, and we just rode anywhere we could. Started out, didn't have a trailer, and we would just get on our horses and ride. And just any place we would find an opening. It was a few years before I went somewhere where there were actual trails cut with ribbon marked and an actual trail. And I thought, I never thought about doing anything like this before. So that's what got it all started.
Well, you were talking about like riding down the road. That reminds me of when I first, one of the places I first boarded, you know, 20 years ago or more than 20 years ago was in Rockport, Indiana. And we'd just leave the barn and just, you know, we'd go across a field and through another field and some woods. And as long as there wasn't a fence or a no trespassing sign, we'd just ride.
That's exactly what we did.
Yeah.
I went to a place with Cooper Lake. It's not too far from here. It's a state park.
Yeah.
And up from Greenville. And they were just beginning to put in the trails there, and somebody had gone through the woods and tied ribbon. And they told us when we came in to bring our loppers and nippers and cutters and follow the ribbon and cut tree limbs as we went. And that's also one thing. Before I had actually started cutting my own trails, and I'd never given any thought to just going out in the woods and cutting trails and tying ribbon and starting to ride those trails and having trails for myself.
So just I'm curious. I've never been to Cooper Lake. I mean, I hear it's very popular. Is it a good place to ride? I mean,
it's a real good place to ride. They've got fantastic facilities, an equestrian campground, really nice facilities. The bathroom is even a tornado shelter. They've got showers and bathrooms and heated and air conditioned and just the facilities are great. Trails are good. They're real well marked. They're mapped out and the issue that they ran into over time was that it's so close to Dallas and there's so many people that go there that there was a lot of erosion that began to happen.
Okay.
And so they started a few years ago that if it rains, and it just about got to the point where if there's a cloud in the sky, they shut it down because they just had to stop because they rerouted and rerouted. And then some of the trails would get to where the erosion would, dig a trench so deep that your feet would rub the sides as you went down the eroded trail.
Wow.
So it just got very difficult to deal with.
Wow. So when you were road riding, were there any mistakes that you made? Like anything you did that could have potentially been dangerous, or were you all pretty careful on your road riding?
Well, you know, you learn by experience. We were riding at night and alongside the road, it was kind of weedy, high grass, and we didn't know exactly where the little creek crossing culverts were. And my wife rode her horse right off into a ditch at a culvert that was covered with the weeds. It was about 5 feet deep.
Ooh. Oh.
And so they just fall to the bottom. So you have to be aware of that. One of the main things that I found out that I began to realize that especially on little country roads that are pretty narrow, and you've got two or more people, doesn't matter if it's two people or 10 people, and vehicles are coming, it makes it so much easier and safer for the people with horses and for the vehicles coming and going. If you've got time to do it, for everybody to get on the same side of the road. If you've got vehicles going right down through the middle of horses, one horse wants to get over the other side where another horse is. If you've got a dog with you, the dog switch sides of the road. And so if everybody gets on the same side of the road, then the vehicle knows where you are, where you stand, and you know where you are. And the car can just simply move over and drive on by. So much safer to do it that way. And this is one of the things people just don't think about.
Do you find that as the years have gone by, that people are less polite to horses or less educated about the horses, or living out in the country, is it all still pretty, people are still pretty considerate?
Most people are pretty considerate. They see a horse, a lot of times people don't realize the potential danger that if a horse spooks, it's jump out right out in front of a vehicle. But most people, if they see us riding down the road, they will slow down and move over. I had a friend that drove a dump truck that used to blow his horn when he come by. Had no intention of being rude or ugly or spooking the horse. He would just blow the horn, say hello, and he was just happy to see us out there. So I had to finally talk with him one time, and I said, Vince, please don't blow your horn. He said, oh, I'd never thought about it scaring the horse. So you've got to be aware if you see somebody coming with a trailer. trailers will scare a horse to death. So you know, you need to get an extra hold of your horse and be aware and
sure.
be prepared for a horse to spook a little bit.
I know on one of my off trail rides way back in the day, I had a Tennessee Walker and I had another horse and I was on the other horse. And they were both good horses, but I had a friend on the Tennessee Walker and he wasn't scared of anything. He just real level headed fellow, and a cement truck started coming toward us and she started freaking out. And I was like, don't look at it. Don't see it. He won't see it. But she didn't follow my instructions and he turned and ran. He was, you know, a 16 two hand Midnight Sun grandson. He had a big old stride. And when he ran, he went pretty far. And my horse was kind of like, whatever, because I didn't look at the truck. So she learned her first lesson of, if there's something you think might be scary, pretend it's not there.
Well, one of the things that I found can help, and it depends on the horse you're riding. One of the things that I found that can help is sometimes you need to just stop and face the thing that's coming at you and just let the horse see it so that it doesn't come up and surprise the horse. But either way, you just need to be prepared for the horse to do whatever it's going to do.
That's
and I'm not talking about a tight rein, but if you take the slack out of your rein where the horse feels your hand, the horse gets so much security from your hand and knowing that you're there, as if you're leading the horse through danger, whether it be from the saddle or if you're standing on the ground and you're walking them past something that's spooky, if they feel your hands, they get a lot of security from that. So you can kind of prepare them to be ready for something that's coming at them that's spooky. And whether it's that or just riding by any kind of a spook on the trail, if you just maintain that contact with their mouth, it really can calm them down a lot.
That's true.
That's an interesting point to bring up, Tom, in that, and Alice, because there's different points of view. Different horses really do need to be treated differently when it comes to scary things. Some horses need to have that opportunity to basically stare it down. Okay, I've taken it in. I've smelled it. I know what it is. I can deal with this. And other horses, you really need to take the lead and say, no, I don't want you to look at that. I want you to look at this over here, something that's not scary. So that's where really knowing your horse and practicing as much as you can with stuff that's slightly less scary that you can control. For example, somebody standing there holding an umbrella and opening it in front of you is so important for trail riders, is to practice the little stuff and the more controllable stuff so that when you are out on the trail and you have no control over whether or not that big truck honks his horn, you have a pretty good idea of the types of reactions your horse is likely to have and how you can keep both of you safe. So that's just a great little tidbit. I'm going to chop that out of the show and put it over on Horse Tip Daily.
Well, it's absolutely important to know your horse and what you're dealing with. You might deal with an older, experienced horse more so than a younger horse. Some horses just have a tendency to be a little more spooky. I'll throw this in real quick just as a thing that I do a little differently from most trainers and most riders on the trail. I saw for years and years and years, when people would come across a booger, whether it be a tire laying in the ditch or a Walmart bag hanging on the barbed wire fence or somebody's beer box, cardboard box that they've thrown off in the ditch, and it scares a horse absolutely to death. And so they stop their horse and let the horse approach it and smell of it and check it out and talk to them and tell them, see, it's just a beer box, it's just a mailbox, it's just a tire, it's not going to hurt you. And then they ride on. This is not to say that that is wrong. It's just different. There's many, many ways of doing things that are not necessarily wrong because they don't do it the way you do it. What I found and what I started to do is when I see a booger that scares my horse, I try to continue forward motion and pass on by so that the horse learns, okay, there's a tire in the road. It scares me to death. I'm going to look at it. I may even get a little sideways, but forward motion continues. One of the reasons for that is if you got 10 people or 20 people on a ride and one person's horse sees a booger, everybody has to stop so that person introduces their horse to the booger. Or if everybody doesn't stop, then while you're introducing your horse to the booger and everybody else is going by, the herd instinct kicks in and your horse is more worried about those people passing by than it is the booger. and you got a catch 22 snowball situation.
Right.
So it's not necessarily one way is wrong from the other. It's just a different way of looking at it.
That makes sense. Well, I wanted to know about how you made the trails on your property and how much space you had and stuff like that. I was curious about how you began to mark your own trails at home.
Well, first of all, the main thing to consider is where you want to go, whether you've got 5 acres or 20 acres or 200 acres. You need a stopping and a starting and stopping point. You want to try to make as much, you get as much benefit out of the land that you have as possible. I like to curve and loop and have a general direction I want to go in, but make turns and loops and general that change directions and change terrains and all that in the process, rather than just saying I'm going to go from point A to point B and you just cut a trail straight through. You may cut a trail straight through a piece of property. It may take you 10 minutes to get from point A to point B, or you can twist and turn and loop and make it fun and more interesting and spend an hour getting through that same piece of property. And so it's good to walk it. It's good to walk it or ride it if you can, if it's not too thick. And just get an idea. Look for interesting things. If there's a giant tree or if there's a big rock you want people to see. I like to follow a creek as much as I possibly can, because along the creek is where you'll find your biggest trees, your most vegetation, and the most wildlife that you'll have an opportunity to see. So you want to twist and turn and make loops and turns, but at the same time, you don't want to make a what I call a spaghetti wad out of it, where you go one way and you turn and you're walking right back so close to the trail you just rode that two people can reach out and touch each other. You just want to make the most of it you possibly can. I like to cut a trail in the path of least resistance, but without cutting down big trees. I like for it to be more environmentally friendly, not necessarily to the point of tree hugging, but I just don't like to cut a bigger tree. I use loppers and a bow saw, use the simple tools that I can use by hand. Occasionally, we may have to use a chainsaw or a pole saw. But usually just keeping it really simple and going between trees where your knees don't hit and make a trail through that everybody can ride, considering the safety, considering the level of ability that everybody's riding, and just going out there and making a fun trail for people to ride rather than just a straight line through a patch of woods.
Sure. Well, how many acres do you have on your place for your trails?
I've got 50 acres myself, and then I lease 80 acres, and I've got a friend next door that's got 120 acres. So we've got a total of 250 acres to work with. It's not all woods. We've got a lot of open pasture, and we've got patches of wood. The patches of woods may be anywhere from 2 or 3 acres to 5 or 10 acres. And so what we do is we go from across the fields from one patch of woods to the other, and we'll cut a trail through this patch of woods. If it's kind of a circular patch, we'll make a loop, a circle through those woods. If it's a thinner patch of woods, then we'll make more of a straight line trail through it. And so out of my 50 and the 80 next door, which has very few woods, we actually made a 4-mile trail that makes loop trails through each patch of woods. And we've got, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 actual separate wooded trails in that area where we ride from pasture to, through a pasture to the next patch of wood. So it's just, and then on my neighbor's land of 120 acres, he's got a bigger patch of woods. And so we've got loops in and out of those woods that go for probably a couple of miles in just 120 acres.
Sure. Well, that's like where I live. They have, we have 300 acres or so, but she's got about between 9 and 12 miles of trail, depending on how you work the loops and, you know, which sections you ride. And you can go in and out and go backwards and forwards and that kind of thing. And it's amazing how different, especially in a hilly part, it is whenever you change from one direction to the other.
had a friend that wanted to come help me cut trail. And I was cutting in a trail, put a patch of trails in, and it was only a small area, 2 or 3 acres. And I wanted to cut a circle through there where we would have, we ride gated horses mostly, where we would have little straightaway stretches in there of maybe just 50 or 100 feet. But people enjoy that on a gated horse to come around a curve. You got a little straightaway in front of you. And so you bump your horse up to a gate and you get through that, and then you make more turns. And I was going loop-de-loop-de-loop, turn. And he just couldn't understand. He said, "This is stupid. When you're cutting your trail, you're going up towards the front." He said, "Why don't we just go that way?" And he didn't understand that it was that thing about you can get through there in 5 minutes or you can get through there in 30 minutes if you extend the trail and make more use of your land.
Right. And I know, like, at Trace Trails, which you probably have, you've been there, I'm sure.
Sandy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's real sandy, and he doesn't have a ton of acreage, but they've done a really good job of making the most out of the woods, where where the trails do touch each other occasionally, but you know, you don't realize, like, even when you're on a part of the trail that is 2 or 3 trails together, when you're following pink, you don't necessarily realize you're also on orange, because the way it weaves in and out, you just are paying attention to what you're paying attention to until you've ridden there.
I interject here that whenever that happens, people like me who are directionally challenged, and that might even be too mild a term, that's when we get lost. I want a straight trail.
Well, what I try to avoid is I always use a different color ribbon on each trail. And what I try to avoid is looping back and crossing a trail with the same color. In other words, with the same trail crossing itself. I'd rather twist and turn and try to avoid that if possible, because if there's an intersection in a trail, then I like to have it be a different trail with a different color. It avoids that. You know, when you go through there, if you stay with your color, you're good. If you change colors, then you know you're on another trail. And if it's possible, map these trails out so that when people are out there riding and you're not with them to show the way, if they have some kind of a map. And if you do a map, put landmarks on it. If there's a special tree or if there's a forked tree or a dead tree or anything like that, that's a landmark where people can identify where they are.
Yeah. Right.
I also like to have an exits on a trail so that if somebody gets hurt, you can go out into an open area. Now, some people are cutting trails, especially in the public areas, where the trail is wide enough to get an emergency vehicle down. Now, for a public area, a public trail, that's a good idea. I don't particularly like it myself because I don't like a bulldozer trail that turns into a road through the woods. To me, that's just not the same as a trail. If that's all you have, then that's wonderful to have that. But I like a trail that goes through the woods that's basically single file, maybe a few places where you can go side by side or all of it if you prefer to do that. But a single file trail where you have to be very careful to go between trees that are wide enough where you don't bang your knee on the tree, but at the same time where you can go at a reasonable speed, whether you want to walk it slow or speed it up a little bit. Creek crossings. I like to cut a trail alongside a creek because to me it's just fun to ride alongside the water, whether it be on the side of a lake or the side of a creek or the side of a river. And I try to avoid those creek crossings as much as I possibly can, though you may have to have some creek crossings to use your land. More accidents happen at creek crossings, I think, than any other time. And making sure the bank is not too steep, you have to consider the bottom, whether it's muddy or whether it's solid. And in most cases, if the water is flowing slow, it's going to be a softer, muddier bottom. If the water's flowing a little faster, it will tend to be a little firmer bottom. And so, and then the bank going down and up is real important so that different levels of people riding abilities can make those crossings without coming off the horse.
Well, hey, Tom, I hate to have to cut this short because I am enjoying it so much, but we are going to have to say goodbye for today.
We're going to have you back. This is good
stuff.
Yeah,
I need to have you back on because this is just great stuff. And we need to have you back on again so we can talk about
it. Oh, I love it. I got through about a fifth of it.
Definitely.
Safety and environmentally friendly is, you know, safety is number one.
Absolutely.
And have a safe trail and a way to get out of it if you need help and always know where you are. And carry one thing I'll say last, carry your cell phone with you when you ride, especially if you're by yourself.
Yes.
That's absolute important. But I enjoyed it. And anytime you get me started and I won't shut up.
Well, thanks so much for coming on this day today, Tom. And we appreciate you taking the ride through the technical difficulties with us. And as Alice said, we are going to have you back to talk some more about designing safe and appropriate creek crossings and trails and things like that, because I think a lot of people are just intimidated by it and they don't know where to start. So we're planning on having you again, having you on the show again soon.
I'd love to do that. Everybody don't need to learn the hard way like I did.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
All right. Wow, that was fascinating stuff.
I know. I hated to have to stop because I didn't realize we needed a whole show for just that. So we'll have to come back to that later because that was really awesome.
Well, I like what he had to say about, when you do have to go across a stream, you need to make sure that the stream is appropriate for lots of different levels and things like that. So great stuff. So now we're going to have to, once again, call live on the air. It's like real radio.
It is, yeah, like the old days.
Like the old days. We're going to give Bree a call here.
Okay.
And what's Bree going to talk to us about?
Bree's going to talk to us about Christmas gifts and fall and winter fashion. Good morning, Bree. How are you this morning?
Good morning. How are you?
We're good. We're doing things live and
on the fly. On the fly today.
We had all kinds of technical difficulties this morning. So
perfect. I like it. What a way to start out a Thursday morning.
That's right. And it's only, 6 o'clock for you.
Seven. So it's a little better.
Oh, seven. Sorry. That's right.
All the difference in the world.
Six, seven. Yeah, that's right. Seven. Seven's better. But you've probably been up a while anyway, haven't you?
That's true. I have a 4.5-month-old, so I've been up all night.
You haven't slept in 4.5 months.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I'm really looking forward to the day that happens, but I have a feeling it's not going to be anytime soon. So
really?
7 o'clock is just fine for me.
Wow. I would think 4.5. I'm trying to think if my daughter was sleeping at 4.5 months, and I don't remember.
Because it was all a blur because you were sleep deprived.
Because that was 19 years ago. So,
He sleeps. He just, he sleeps when he wants to sleep,
Yeah.
It's fun, but then they're so cute, so you have to get up and smile every time because they just look at you. That's why they're so cute.
God makes them cute so that we protect them from ourselves.
Exactly. <That's right. laughs> I totally agree.
So you're here from Riding Warehouse today, and you are our sponsor today to talk a little bit about our fall and winter clothing and fashion and some Christmas gifts.
Yeah, but we're talking at just the right time.
Yeah, before we get started, though, I wanted to thank Riding Warehouse for the generous donation of $1,000 worth of gift card money. And we're having a raffle we're doing 3 gift cards from you guys. We have a $200, a $300, and a $500 gift card. And we're raffling tickets for $5 for one or $5 for $20. And we'll draw in February. So if anybody is interested, I can hook them up with raffle tickets and they can win one of 3 prizes and spend their gift card money with you guys. Because you are such an awesome sponsor and we appreciate you guys so much.
Oh, well, that sounds great.
So, all right. So Christmas gifts. I know people don't like to think about Christmas yet, but it's time.
I know. I'm not even willing to think about Halloween yet, to be honest.
Right.
But we'll jump forward. We'll think about Christmas. I guess when I work in retail, I have to be thinking about Christmas pretty much all year round. So you'd think I'd be used to it by now. But Christmas gifts are something we start thinking about really early in the year, actually. Pretty much, like I said, it never ends. And what we have found over the years is horse people really want things that they can use. We've tried doing some gift type things and they work really well, but they really come down to the things that work really well are things that horse people can find some practical use in. And I think that's just because horse people are so practical. You know, they don't have the space or the time to have something just sitting on a shelf. It needs to be something that they can use in their everyday life. So we've found we've been trying to do our buying to reflect that. So we've got some really fun things this year that are gifty, but they're practical. So I can just kind of jump in if you guys want into some of our newest things. Keep in mind, a few of the things which I'll point out are up and coming. So they're going to be on the site within the next month, because it is only technically September still. So a lot of things start showing up in October. So we have a lot already on the site. And then I encourage you guys to come visit back probably in about mid-October. We'll have everything up. So it's a
way
to
kind of visit
it today.
This will give people the chance to salivate and
yes, exactly. And before I forget, we've got a coupon code running. And it's going to run through November 1st. So it's going to be up there when everything's on the site. So that'll be good timing. It's only for your listeners, and the code is RADIO20. It's going to be 20% off everything that qualifies, which is almost everything on the website. So if you just enter that in the coupon code when you go to check out RADIO20, you're going to get 20% off your order today and through November 1st. So just keep that in mind, too, if you're trying to do some early Christmas shopping. We've got a new product coming out. It's new for this year. It's going to be on the site probably actually within the next couple of days. So I encourage everybody to check it out. It's called the iRock and Ride. It's a Bluetooth speaker for your saddle.
It works with
all types of saddles.
I have to have that.
It's amazing. We met with the owner a couple of weeks ago, and she gave us a demo, and it's incredible. You can literally put it to any type of saddle, even a bareback pad if you want. So there's nobody's excluded from this. It's meshing technology with our horseback riding experience, which some people don't want to do. I understand, but some people definitely have to. It was first created for music purposes. So those of you that like to ride with some music, especially a lot of trainers, I find out there they want to be entertained. They can be hooked right into your iTunes and your phone or whatever a music player you have going on. You just have to have your phone on you somehow, like in a pocket or something like that. And you never have to take it out. The speaker works on its own. It's fantastic. The quality is amazing. I heard the music on it. It's amazing. I just can't even believe the technology that's there today. Additionally, you can take phone calls. So if you're trying to get away from the office, but you don't want to be totally away, this is a way to continually call. You're pretty much hands-free, which is really nice for people who want to call. You can even text. You do your talk-to-text feature, and you can even do that. You can do everything pretty much on this thing. It's pretty amazing.
So it's got a microphone and a speaker.
Fantastic. Yes, exactly. It's a really good gift. So I definitely encourage people to check that out. That would be probably my number one new thing that's coming out this year. Because it's with the times too. So for somebody who's into tech, that's going to be a really nice gift. For people who are either where you guys are, you get a lot of rain and snow and that kind of conditions. We sell a lot of either muck and rain type boots. Out here, we sell a lot of lightweight rain boots just because we don't get the weather out here in California that you guys tend to get. But we sell a ton of them, and I've got some new ones from Smoky Mountain. They're really, really great, very affordable, really cute horse prints. So we've got some new ones coming out there. We also have some on closeout that we got. So those are going to be very, very reasonable. There's three styles on closeout and then some new styles for 2016. So check those out if you live in a wet or muddy condition or your friends do. And we've also got Noble Outfitters. They have the insulated ones, and we've always carried the ones that keep you really warm. And those are great, but sometimes they keep you too warm and you want to be able to stay a little bit cooler because you're sweating as you're working. So now this year we've introduced the Stay Cool Noble Outfitters muck boots. So those are really nice. They're going to keep you insulated, but they're wicking the moisture away and keeping you cool and dry. So if it is cold, you start to sweat, you know how the sweat can cause you to actually get colder. So right. These are great for people who are actually really working, maybe mucking a lot of stalls in the morning when it's real crisp, something like that. We've got a 6-inch version for those who like the shorter versions, and we've also got a tall version. So those are brand new for us this year. Noble Outfitters stay cool.
Can people ride in them too if it's raining? Do they have a heel?
You shouldn't ride in them. Encourage anything with like those treads. You know, I just worry that you're going to get stuck in those. You shouldn't ride in them. I've got some options for you if you want to ride in your waterproof boots. Dublin has always come out with some new ones every year. We've always carried the Rivers and the Pinnacles. We still have those on the site. Those still do extremely well. They're waterproof tall boots that you can also ride in. But this year, brand new, we've got the Thames version. They're really, really cute. Would make a great gift. They're completely waterproof up to the part where it's actually fabric. It's this really cute plaid, almost Christmassy-looking fabric. And check those out. It's pronounced Thames, the Dublin Thames boot, but it's spelled T-H-E-M-E-S. So check that out. Those are really, really cute and would make a fantastic gift for anybody who maybe experiencing some wet and muddy conditions, but like you said, they don't want to change the boots when they ride. Those are really cute and would be a really nice option for somebody. So footwear is always really huge. We've got some new just standard riding boots. If you're not concerned about the cold or you've got a friend that needs a new pair, we've got some Macy Bean boots that are coming in the next couple of weeks. So those are something brand new for us this year for your cowgirl. They're really, really nice leather sole cowboy boots. And I put them on the other day and they were very, very comfortable. And they have a leather insole as well, which is nice because it won't break down if it gets wet, whereas the cardboard insoles and some other boots tend to break down. So very high quality, great price points, very cute, fashion-y, but also very functional. So check those out in a couple weeks, Macy Bean. We've also got some cute mountain horse tall boots that are brand new for this year. So for the English rider, if you're looking to spruce up this coming show season or you've got somebody in mind, check those out. So boots are always just a really good, I feel like they're very easy to fit as long as you know the person's size. Also, we have that free return and exchange policy. So it's really easy for somebody to make an exchange if you happen to get the wrong size or it just doesn't fit perfectly. It's very easy for them to exchange, even if it's a gift. We'll figure out who they are. They just put a little note in there and comes with that exchange label that's completely free. So that's something to keep in mind with gifts. You don't always get that when you're trying to buy apparel or boots or something. Riding warehouse is a great spot for that.
So do you have anything you could recommend for, I'm shopping for a friend and they need a lace-up boot because they have like an orthotic they have to put in their boot and they can't wear cowboy boots because the orthotic and their foot can't get around the curve in the boot.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any? And so he's always ridden in hiking boots, but do you have anything that would be good for someone do the Ariats, how big do like the Ariat boots come?
Yes.
Are there boots that would?
I highly recommend the Ariat Terrain boots or we actually just came out. Is this a male customer or a male friend you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. So Ariat Terrain.
Hopefully he's not
sure.
Looking, listening, or he'll know he's getting to
I know,
Christmas.
Right? The Ariat Terrains are going to be, especially for foot issues, those are going to be your best bet because they almost wear like a tennis shoe / hiking boot, which give you the support where the cowboy boot may lack. So I highly recommend the Terrains. You can ride in any saddle, any stirrup in the Terrains. They also come in wide. So say the insole makes the boot a little bit smaller fitting. There's wide sizes. So instead of the standard D that comes in the double E wide for males, we also actually on the female side, they also, a lot of them come in the C, which is wide for women. So I highly recommend checking out the Ariat Terrains. We have a new Terrain boot this year. Actually, we introduced it a few months ago for the men. So you'll see now the men have one extra option for the Terrain boot. And so I highly recommend them. We've got waterproof options, which is great because guys they just want one boot. They don't want to have to, change into like a muck boot sometimes. So the Terrain waterproof boots are fantastic for them and just give a little bit more support. And
sure.
Great for the women who have, any sort of foot issues as well. And again, you can ride Western, English, doesn't matter in these. They're a safe sole with a heel and they're just very comfortable. And again, they come in such a wide range of sizes that you'd find something that would fit everybody, even with a special insole inside. That would be my recommendation.
Very cool. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Other gifts. While I'm still thinking about gifts, we've got some really, really cute bags for anybody who's traveling, even if it's not horse related, from Classic Equine. They come out with some really cute prints a couple times a year. We've got the newest ones just in stock. They actually just went on the website yesterday. Pretty excited about it. We've got duffel bags and tote bags, and bags just seem to be the thing now that
people are
moving away from the reuse. They're moving away from the throwaway plastic bags. They're paper bags. These are reusable. So we've got totes and duffels and even ventilated bags that are great for putting your horse boots in so the dirt comes out. Check out the newest ones from Classic Equine. They're really cute patterns. It would be great for even for kids. Would be really fun. I've also got a really cute backpack. It's a closeout backpack, actually, from Noble Outfitters. So it's a great price. And for those kids on your list, maybe heading back to school, it looks like just a pretty normal backpack on the outside. And on the inside, it's got a really fun, cute, horsey print. It also fits the helmet and the crop so the kid can take it to the barn. And so check that out. There's a That's a really cute, fun gift that I thought, if I was shopping for horseback riding kids, that's probably what I get this year. There's just so many options when it comes to gifts. And I think that we all have that person on our list, though, that's a hard shopper or a hard one to shop for. And so in that case, what I always am going to recommend, Riding Warehouse Yard. You can't go wrong. They can get whatever they want. Doesn't matter what discipline. We have endurance equipment, English equipment, Western equipment. So gift card, all sorts of denominations. If you're last minute on that gift card, we'll do an email gift card. So you don't have to wait for it to come in the mail. It'll get emailed to them within 24 business hours, and it'll be right in their email inbox. So if you're waiting till the last minute to shop, that's something to think about as well. So gift cards always are a great option, I think, for any horseback rider. I love a gift card. I'm not hard to shop for.
Oh, yeah.
I think a gift card is probably
one
of the best.
It's twice the fun.
Gifts.
You get to spend hours and hours deciding what to spend it on, and then you get stuff, too. It's the perfect combination.
And well, it doesn't come out of their bank account.
Exactly.
Great.
Well, and I know my daughter used to get a gift card from before I knew about you guys. One of her grandparents used to send her a gift card, but it was for English riding, which she had done when she was little, but it was hard to find things for like her as a trail rider. It was hard to find things there. Like we'd be going, and she'd usually end up getting a helmet but you guys just cover it all. You do, Western and English and endurance and everything. So,
And there's, all sorts of, what's that?
I love your shipping policy. Your shipping policies are fantastic.
Thanks. Yeah. And when in doubt, there's always, there's so many products that everybody uses. Everybody has, horse blankets or fly sheets or fly spray or brushes, So you really, I don't think you can go wrong with Riding Warehouse when it comes to any kind of horse person. They're going to find something that they want, regardless of discipline.
Well, before you go, Bree, do give us A, your website, and B, the special discount code for listeners again.
Yeah. So the website is ridingwarehouse.com. Very easy to remember. And from there, you can go English, Western, or Endurance. So it's a three-part website, but everything is accessed through ridingwarehouse.com. And again, the radio coupon code for all you listeners, it's RADIO20. That's going to give you 20% off your order, and it covers pretty much the majority of most items qualify on our website. And it's good through November 1st. So if you're looking to get in early and get some Christmas shopping done, go ahead and do it. There's no maximum amount that you can purchase. So go ahead and get all your Christmas shopping done and get 20% off the whole order. That would be amazing. So again, RADIO20. Yeah. So just go ahead and insert that into the coupon code. You can bypass all of the Black Friday craziness and everybody scrambling around and just get everything in Riding Warehouse. Why not?
Sounds like a plan to me. Thank you, Bree.
I like it. You're welcome.
Enjoy your baby.
Oh, thanks. I am. It's a blast. It's worth the sleepless nights.
There you go. Nap when he does.
And happy shopping, everybody. I hope everybody finds something good on that site today.
Thanks, Bree.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day.
That was so much fun.
That was. She's always a blast to have on.
I want to go shopping.
I know. Me too. I wrote down the name of that. I wrote down the name of the Oh, the speakers, because I'm going to have to.
Yeah, I could tell you were pretty excited about that. You're putting, yeah. You're going to put that on the boyfriend's Christmas shopping list, aren't
no,
you?
No, that's on my shopping list.
Oh.
That's me. Because I love, well, when I'm riding open, I don't really have anyone that I ride with.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a lot of people have friends that they double up with, or and a lot of people like to ride alone. Well, I like doing the sport because I like to ride with my friends. So then I'm with and open with a lot of people who like to ride by themselves. And so sometimes about mile 20 something, I need some motivation. And so if I had my music and I had my little speaker, and I don't really like to put in headphones because I feel like,
yeah,
I mean, I do it, but I don't feel like it's the best option necessarily. Yeah. So that speaker is going to be amazing.
There you go. And speaking of going on rides, where can people find the NATRC ride calendar?
The NATRC ride calendar is at natrc.org. And we're in the thick of the fall season. This month is busy. I think there's multiple rides in every region all month long.
There you go. And so. each of the NATRC regions has their own Facebook page too. So you can find somebody local.
Yes.
And it's a very outgoing and friendly community. So check it all out.
And we also have a general Facebook group too for the whole thing that just, it's the North American Trail Ride Conference group. So yeah, you can find local people. Like I'm in region 4, region 5 is like the East Coast, region 6 is the Midwest, and then 1, 2, and 3 are west of here. So no,
west
you know,
of here.
Just kind of look on the, well, and it's on the website. So
there you go. NATRC.
Know where they are, they can click on it, and there's cute little graphics that show you where you live and what region you're in.
There you go. And we're going to wrap things up. So today you can find the guest show notes or the show notes and guest links at horsesinthemorning.com. And you can follow us on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning. And if you're a tweeter, you can follow us on Twitter. Our handle is Horse Radio, all one word. And you can have all of the shows with you wherever you go for you newbies. Just download the free Horse Radio Network app for your iPhone or your Android. Just go to your app store and search Horse Radio Network. You can download it. You can choose to have every single show we make or just pick and choose. And it's free and easy to use. And if you didn't, and if you're old school, you can also subscribe via iTunes. And thank you very much to today's show sponsors. And who are they, Alice?
Our show sponsors today are the North American Ride Conference, North American Trail Ride Conference, or NATRC, and Riding Warehouse.
All righty. Well, that's been a great show. Thank you very much for coming again, Alice. And again, I expect to see beautiful pictures of the boyfriend and Sherman and the new tack. When we talk to you again next month on the third Thursday.
All right. We'll send them.